as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. Thank you for listening or downloading us on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, Brandon. Hey. What a weekend, huh? Did you catch your breath yet?
You know what? It's been a crazy one here in Ravens Nation. Sunday was up and down, but we said that was going to be a real test of what this team could actually do. But before we jump into that, it seems to be a trend this season, something I wish we could really break. But I feel as if we should start this show off talking about some off-the-field stuff. ESPN came out on Friday with a big article about the Ravens, about how they had knowledge of this Ray Rice incident, about how the Ravens kind of knew everything and were still lobbying for Ray Rice to get a slap on the wrist almost. And it made the Ravens look like a really bad organization, one that doesn't really care about things that are going on in the world right now, and all they were really caring about is this team. What are your thoughts on that? Before we get into Bashadi's comments at the press conference yesterday, what were your thoughts on what ESPN said?
I mean, it's a very interesting take, Brandon, because you can almost never believe the media, especially with the he said, she said, and you know how the media always like to spin negativity and controversy and get those juices going. You know, they get those gossip juices and, oh, look what they said. It's really hard to believe, because after listening to the 45-50-minute press conference that Bashadi had, obviously he was refuting that. It's a very interesting take, and then the reporter who broke it is still sticking to his story. So right now, it's like a he said, she said. ESPN saying one thing. Well, actually, it's a three-part way, right? Because the ESPN saying one thing, Brandon. NFL saying one thing. Bashadi saying the other, and so are the Ravens organization as a whole. So it's – I mean, you go back to where I heard Ozzie ask him straight up, did you hit her? You said yeah. Then they take it from there. And then from the suspension to how it was handled, ESPN's take on it is very interesting. I mean, I gave it a good read, but to tell you the truth, I don't know what to believe. I mean, being a part of the Ravens organization as I cover them for the call, you know, I cover them, you know, personally, I cover them as a fan. And being that we're part of that, and I feel part of the team as one, and celebrating the championship as one, you know, with the fans organization at the parade, you know, there's that bond, and you have no choice but to look at it. It's almost like you have to look at it biasly, because obviously you're going to believe our Ravens, because you're going to go, no, they can't do that. But with Bashadi refuting the ESPN, it's right at this point, it's, I don't really know what to believe, but it. But I was impressed with the press conference per se. But what are your thoughts on the article, man?
When I read the article and I was reading about a lot of responses on Twitter and that kind of stuff, yep. Well, let me start off saying it this way. I like you said, we all cover you and I here. We love talking about the Ravens. Why else would we start a podcast about the Ravens unless we absolutely love this team and love talking about football and the game and everything like that? But when I read that ESPN article, I honestly was like, I don't know if I can support these guys anymore, because this is terrible. This is the way this was all handled. And I know it's good to kind of separate the game from this stuff going on, but like in my mind, I'm like, how can I support these guys in the front office that are going to do this? And they're going to, like ESPN said, it was hush money that Bashadi was trying to give Ray Rice, like kind of be right. Quiet.
And I think that's ridiculous, Brandon. I mean, just off the bat, I mean, I have them right here. The text messages are right here. And what I loved about Bashadi, Brandon, in the press conference, he was transparent. He was honest. There was raw emotion. It says right here, he did have an exchange with text messages with Ray. That's quoted by Bashadi. Here's the text messages right here. This is Ray Rice in a text message. I understand the decision, but I'm thankful for what you have done for me and my family. Me and my wife will continue to work on us and be better. I just wanted to say thank you for giving me a chance. Now, Steve, I'm sorry we had to do this. I still love you and believe that you'll be a great husband and father. And if you ever need to talk, to just call. And Brandon, I loved what he said in response to when a reporter asked him, well, why would you cut the guy and then offer to employ him? And he brought up a good story, man, that I did do a big fist pump and I was grinning ear to ear. He fired back and said, what about Chris Carter? Chris Carter had a substance abuse problem. He was cut by the Eagles. He found new life in the Minnesota Vikings. Now he is a Hall of Famer. I was in person when he was there with Jonathan Ogden when he did a speech, and that was raw emotion. And if you had never seen it, I urge anybody to go on YouTube or any form of social media, look that speech up. I know Ray Lewis is going to be up there, probably number one speech or number top five all time, but Chris Carter, that was a speech. And when Bisciotti brought that up, you're right, Brandon, it's about redemption.
Yeah.
Like he said, as a player, you can't really move on from that. But as a player developer and getting the players acclimated to the league, I mean, it's a good story because, like he said, NFL loves feel-good stories. I mean, you look at Mike Vick and his redemption. You look at other stories in the NFL. It happens. I mean, players are going to fall. But what happens is, do they pick up the pieces? And we talked about this numerous times, especially in my personal life and with the whole Ray Rice situation in the beginning. We've been through this. Mm-hmm. It's about redemption. If Ray Rice gets his life back and in order, I would love to see him come back. Because there's always bad news going on. How about a feel-good story for once?
You know, yeah, that when I first read this ESPN article and everything, I didn't want to turn against the Ravens. I still wanted to support them until I heard their side. By the time I'm like, in my mind, I went, how do you come back from this? Because when Steve Bisciotti sent those text messages to Ray Rice, it definitely looks like hush money. It does. Like,
it does.
It looks terrible. Everything on paper this Ravens organization has done is terrible. I mean, this was handled so poorly by not just the Ravens, and we talked about this before, not just the Ravens or the NFL, but the New Jersey court system and all that kind of stuff. It just, everything about this situation is just handled poorly. Ray Rice made a terrible decision. The Ravens, the NFL, everyone else has made terrible decisions since then. I don't think Ray Rice is gone forever or anything like that. I think in a couple months, when this story kind of cools down, everything will be back to normal. And probably next season, you will see Ray Rice on the field again. I firmly believe that. But
or it could be quickly as this year, because I already heard several teams are already courting him if he is to get reinstated. So It could be this year. So that, and that, again, you know, that's going to come under a lot of scrutiny. And I mean, it's this situation really sucks. It's as blunt as I can be. And then you hear the whole, like with the article and he said, she said, and I know Harbaugh was, you know, pointing at the finger saying, well, he wouldn't wanted Ray Rice's release in the beginning. You know what? Well, if you read on Ravens.com, the whole message to the fans behind the story, Harbaugh said he was horrified at first, and then when he saw the footage the second time, he said he brought up the topic, not because the story says, oh, he urged management to release him at the beginning. Well, Harbaugh said no. He talked about that openly and said, well, let the circumstances pass. And then when he saw the second time, he recommended that, yes, we need to take action, release him, which I discussed with you when it first came out that Monday. I said they're going to release him, and it was no surprise it was going to happen. I think they had no choice. I think with the video being released, they put them – it's almost Ray Rice put the Ravens in a corner, and the Ravens had to push back, said, Ray, we got to let you go, bud.
Yeah.
And I think push on the shove, that's what happened. It's, you know, Ray Rice's personal life attacks the Ravens organization. And again, they were put in a corner, and this is what happened. So
a lot of people think that these football players are paid so much money to play football. Yes, that's a big part of it, but they're also billboards. They are there to sell jerseys that have the organization's name on it and to have the NFL's logo on it.
Entertainment, man.
Right.
It ain't no different if it's an NBA player, Major League Baseball, or WWE entertainer.
Right.
That's the word entertainment. These guys entertain for a living. They put their bodies on the line. They're putting their lives at risk. I mean, you know, come on, man. I mean, how many times have you heard of spinal injury, ACL injuries? And it's just the list goes on and on. So you're right, man. They know what they're signing up for. But only that, their personal life gets in the way. It just becomes a lot bigger.
Yeah, and they, the Ravens, the NFL, any sports league or team has a right to say, look, you're making us look bad. We're going to let you go now. So them cutting Ray Rice and everything after that video came out, I mean, you had to see that coming. So after the ESPN thing happened, I did not like the way that the Ravens handled the situation by saying, we're not going to talk about this until next week. We're going to let this game happen first and foremost. Now, that's fine if they want to say that about like a John John Harbaugh press conference or a team press conference, but that's why the front office is there. I wanted them to come out on Saturday and release that memo that came out Monday before the press conference. If you had C. Bisciotti come out on Monday, that's fine, but putting the inaccuracies, like, I felt as if this is going to lead into my next point here. John Harbaugh, I think, has taken the brunt of this fallout since the video got released, because he was the guy that was sent out there after Ray Rice was cut by himself to do a press conference. This stuff happened on Friday, and then they said, oh, we're not going to talk about it until next week. Well, he's got a press conference after the game. What do you think people are going to ask him?
Of course.
And he said, well, I can't answer that. That'll come later this week. I feel as if the Ravens organization, after all this Ray Rice stuff happened, has really put him out and just, like, fed him to the dogs. And let me just say this. I'm a huge fan of John Harbaugh. I love what he has done for this team. I love him as a person. He is a stand-up guy. He is a good guy. He's always got a smile on his face. He loves this game. He loves his family. He loves his faith. He loves everything. I would not be surprised if after this season he would ask to leave as coach and go someplace else, just from the way he was treated about this.
No, that's an interesting take, because a lot of fans, and I wouldn't say a lot, but there's been a little handful that come up to me and actually said that the same thing. You know, they wouldn't be surprised either Harbaugh gets let go. I don't think that would happen, or steps down and just says, you know what, you know, this is what it is. But I actually would be surprised to see it. That is a bold prediction, because I just know, you know, with they've already extended him an extension for the next couple years, and being the most successful coach other than Brian Billick, and we only had three head coaches, so who are we to say that? But he's been very successful since day one. Him, Flacco have a tandem, and you know, I hate to see that happen. And speaking of that, it is his birthday today. We're recording on September 23rd, and it is his birthday today, so it's kind of ironic in a way because we're talking about that. But I just want to shout out to that. But it's just really intriguing to see how it's going to play out. But, you know, with the Ravens, and it was asked with Steve Smith and Torrey, you know, is the best remedy for this the winning? And obviously it always helps. You know, some of the players that said, yeah, if we take it, we put this behind us. And a lot of national media writers have been on the record and saying that kudos to the Ravens. They've actually played three divisional games, won two of them, and two in a row, as a matter of fact, within less than a two-week span, and they're sitting there in second place tied. So it's just with all this whirling going on, and they had a road win. So again, the Ravens are just staring it in the face and saying adversity. I mean, the Super Bowl year, it was the same thing preached by Ray Lewis and company. It was adversity. You know, we overcame a 4th-and-29 play. We overcame a Mahomes miracle. It was about overcoming. And I think this team is going to use this as motivation. It's okay. Well, obviously the media's got a target on our back because of the negativity. So you know what? We're going to go out there and they're going to try to win the AFC North. That's what they're trying to do right now. You know what? They're going to try to win the AFC. You know what? They might horse the third trophy. So that I think, and I'll be all, as I'm getting goosebumps right now, Brandon, I'm going to be on the record and saying an unprecedented run to the Super Bowl this year and hoisting the trophy in Arizona at the end of the year, that would be a how about that, NFL, and to everybody else. It's almost like one of those stories. You remember how 2012 was Ray's last ride, and
right
on the road they were putting the billboards about his retirement party? I feel like it's the same motivation. It's okay. Well, if they don't believe, we'll believe. And I think that Harbaugh somewhere behind the scenes has used that and fueled these guys and say, you know what? Here's the article in the paper. The media hates us. The media thinks we're liars. You know what? They're going to go out and win football games and show them. And they show them they're not scared. So I think that's how the Ravens are going to use everything to their advantage. And I really hope that helps.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to see John Harbaugh go anywhere. I like I said, I'm a huge fan of him, but I would not blame him for wanting to leave after the way the front office has kind of thrown him out there in front of the media. Hopefully he realizes he signed up for being a coach. Probably didn't sign up for this kind of talk, but I would hate to lose him, but I would also understand it. If he left at the end of the year, I would go, you know what, I understand why you're doing it. It sucks, but I understand it. So before we actually bounce into the game, one more thing we got to talk about, and that is Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis, who's a man who always has a lot of motivational things to say and do. And he had a lot of choice words to say on Sunday. I even texted you on Sunday morning asking if you saw him talk about this. And that one little soundbite that the media got about, you know, there's some things you can cover up, some things you can't, probably not the best choice of words for him to say. But I didn't, that didn't even register to me when I watched it the first time, because he was talking about how Ray Rice made a bad decision and how it's affecting everybody now, and how he spent so many years in that organization, and to see it go down so quickly since he left, and saying that's not the reason, that's not the reputation he left the Ravens with. So he had a lot of good things, or a lot of interesting things to say. I wouldn't say good things, but I like what Steve Bisciotti said, and when somebody asked him about what Ray Lewis said, and he said, look, if Ray Lewis thinks that what happened wouldn't have happened if he was still here, he's more powerful than I ever realized. So Steve Bisciotti handled the press conference very well. Ray Lewis did have some things to say about the Ravens. Not all, like, everything he said was pretty true. You know, everything has been handled poorly. But for Ray Lewis, who is a lifetime Raven, to go on ESPN and say that, that's, again, that hurts. That hurts me as a fan to see.
It does, man. It's an interest to take. And do I always agree with everything? Probably not. I mean, I love the guy to death. But here's the thing. He does have the right, no matter what anybody says, and Bisciotti's right. I mean, whether that was a shot at Ray, but again, you know, not weeks prior, 2-3 weeks, 4 weeks prior, we're unveiling a statue, and Bisciotti's sitting right there on the chair on the podium, and he's hearing Ray speak, and the dude's got a statue in the front of the stadium. He's got every right to speak who he wants, and he works for ESPN, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer in a few short years, and I mean, obviously, this is all going to be put behind us. I mean, he's just very passionate because this hits home. Because I remember him talking about this, especially when he was employed with the team as a player, is he took Ray Rice under his wing. It was Big Ray, Little Ray. It was like father and little brother. It was his, that, you know, Ray looked up to Ray Lewis, respectively, as a mentor. And it's Brandon, it's just like if you fail and we're good buddies, and it's just like that. It's just you get sad and you get passionate to see one of your brothers screw up and make this a bigger ordeal, and then it hurts the organization, especially Ray Lewis is the face of the franchise still. I mean, not currently, but I mean, he has a statue. You know, it's Ray Lewis. I mean, you will always remember that. He was injured since day one. He's the longest tenured Raven forever. Flacco's probably going to beat that, maybe, but Ray's been there since day one. He's built this, 2 championships, 17 years. He's been here, him and Ogden were here since day one. And Ray, I mean, by all means, it is freedom of speech, and he can say what he wants. If he's mad about it, if he's upset, frustrated, angry, he's feeling all that, and he's venting it and letting us know that, hey, you know, but he's right. This isn't the organization, and I feel for it too, Brandon, because the Ravens, this is the last thing you expect to happen, especially with the players and all the arrests and trouble. And I remember us talking about that when Ray Lewis was hurt and the team was falling apart, it was, oh, well, Ray Lewis is gone. Is Harbaugh lost it? No, it's ridiculous. And I think it's ridiculous to state that because Ray Lewis is gone, that, oh, this is what's happening. No. I think what Ray Rice did would have happened regardless if Ray Lewis was still employed as a team member. But with that being said, it's just I think it's just time to, you know, win football games and move on. But what Ray said was very interesting. I did not say it. I did read it thereafter. I read the transcripts. And, of course, people are going to take that back to 2000. But what's done is done. You know, you're going to always, unfortunately, in society, you're going to be held accountable for your past sins, and that's not shouldn't be right, because we all have it. And I wish I can. It really sucks that I didn't really think about this before we go to the show, but I really wish that I could have brought the pastor of our church on, because he actually spoke about this. It was kind of really like intriguing how it all tied together. He spoke about this on Sunday morning thereafter, before the Ravens played, and he said it to himself, and it was echoing what Kathy Sandusky wrote about in a blog, how, you know, we shouldn't be looking into his family. It's let Ray Rice take care of Ray Rice. Let that family take care of that family, because we have our issues at home. And we're sitting there blaming who and who said she said, and he spit in her, she spit in his face, and he hit her, and that shouldn't be accountable, and what she said too. You know, no man should ever hit a woman. But with that being said, no human should hit a human. or a child or a dog or anything thereafter, it, you know, just keep your hands to yourself and nothing would happen. You know, male, female, I don't care. No one's protected. We're all equal here. And but she went on record stating that, and it's just, it's true, man. If we all take care of our own backyards, you know, none, we wouldn't really have all this negativity swirling around. So it's unfortunate, but you know, you got to move forward, and the Ravens are handled the right way. And Bisciotti handled it very, very well. And he actually extended the press conference to take more questions. He was very open and transparent. Again, you never see this from him because he likes to hide behind the scenes. It was very nice of him to address that. I can sense him getting a little agitated with some of the questions and reporters were asking, but I think he calmed down a little bit. And he, not regarding the Ray Rice issue itself, but he made one of the best quotes, and I think it was pretty funny. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing from memory here, but he was asked about a rumor about someone that he would be forced to sell a team with this situation, and he goes along the lines of saying, well, if I'm forced to sell a team, then by all means, I'll force sell a team, because he actually said that it's not like I work very hard anyway. I wouldn't lose any hours. So I thought that was pretty awesome. The owner was just like, hey, I make enough money as it is. If they wanted me to sell a team, sure, why not? I'll just sit on my millions. So it was kind of really – he's very blunt, very upfront, and very open, and I've always loved that about Bisciotti. So very smart about him.
Yeah, after his press conference, I felt a little bit better about the situation with the Ravens, because when that ESPN article did come out, I was so disappointed, and I'm like, if they really did this and did that, I can't support this team. And then – but Shadi comes out and he says a lot of the right stuff that you wanted to hear. He admits to not looking in more and taking like Ray on his word and everything like that. And I don't think these guys, him in charge or whatever, are used to these types of situations. So this was probably like a new thing for them. So right now, I'm still a Ravens fan. Like, there's nothing to worry about there or anything. But it's gonna take me a little bit more time to get to the fandom that I once was, because I feel as if at least the front office has really let down the team and the fans and everything like that. Of course, they're going to need to build up, just like Ray Rice is going to have to rebuild a little bit here. But it sucks right now that we can't just focus on football and we can't look at Sundays as like, all right, we're having a good time. Now it's, you know, if you go tailgating or something, it's be like, that guy's in a Ray Rice jersey. Can you believe that? Like, from now on, it used to be Ray Lewis and the situation he had and everybody saying, yeah, but, you know, he's really turned his life around, da, 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 da. Now we're in that spot where it's like, oh, you're a Ravens fan. Oh, then you support people that do this. And I feel as if the office and the team,
well, you know what, Brandon, in that respect, then it could be said, oh, well, if you're a Steeler fan, you support raping. If you're a Patriots fan, you support murders. I mean, if you're going to go that far, then let's be fair across the board.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just unfortunate, and it shouldn't be like that, because we can start sticks and stones. Well, we can start throwing those sticks and stones at the other fan bases if they're going to start firing words, because let's all face it. Every team's got a player that's gotten in trouble for something of another, and they can't hide the fact. I mean, the Colts ownership, drinking and driving. I mean, I've done it too, so I can't really, you know, say anything about that. But again, you know, I'm going to Indy, so you best believe I'll probably get in a conversation about that. Hey, you know. Your owner, what's that example? And that starts at the top. And your owner's out doing that. What's that say? I mean, at least it's one of our players. I can understand. Now, this would be a bigger story, if not way bigger, if Bisciotti did this.
Right.
If he swung and hit his fiance. But no, it was Ray Rice. So, again, leadership starts at the top. So I always I'm questioning. And plus, being that the Irsays are the family that took the Colts from the Baltimore in the first place, so I don't really have much to say about that family in any way. But again, you know, what goes around comes around. It's all out there. Be careful what you say and wish for, because it can come back to you.
Yeah, I think right now my line of thinking with this is I'm still a Ravens fan. I'm still going to support this team, but the front office is still going to have to work a little bit harder to get me back to where I was. I mean, they are starting off correctly. After that video came out, boom, he was let go. They offered a jersey exchange. You know, they're taking the right steps, and I think that they're going to have their own policy once the NFL kind of redoes their own policy. But right now, it's just – it's such a sore subject. Like last week, people were like, you know, can we still cheer on this team and we'll still watch the games? But is it weird that we're going to go out and do this and do that? After that ESPN article and everything came out, I was starting to feel the same way. But I'm still gonna watch the team. I'm still gonna wear my Torrey Smith jersey on Sundays. I'm still gonna support them. But the team also to keep me as much of a fan as I am, and to make sure like the city doesn't look bad, they're just going to have to work a little bit more and a little bit harder to make sure that, you know, everything is the way it should be, I guess. And
right. And I think, you know, with everything being said, John Eisenberg wrote a nice piece on Ravens.com, and that I won't read anything else. You can read for yourself, fans, but it's titled, my tablet just timed out. Here it goes. People will believe what they want to believe. That's enough said right there. The article's titled that, and that's true. Because you're going to read a story, and you're going to think, maybe you'll hear positively. You're going to go, oh, well, the Ravens didn't handle it right, or they did. Me, I'm taking a high approach. I'm saying you're right with you. They've handled everything well. Let's see what happens in the meantime. Ray Russell handles legal issues, and again, you know, the list can go on and on. But I mean, it is a great discussion. It's never going to go away in the meantime. But I think, again, with the best medicine, there is to win football games. And I think with that being said, the Red Eye Review, how about that football game? We actually was it was a great war on Sunday, wasn't it, Brandon?
Yeah, you know, up against the Browns, we were talking about it last week. This is we had a team that was really, really good, and we had a team that was really, really bad, and the Browns are kind of right in the middle. So this week was really going to show what kind of team this Ravens team is going to be. And I think last Sunday is a good example of what this team is going to have to go through every single week this season. They're going to have to be at the top of their game, because right now they're a good team. They're not a great team. They're a team that is definitely going to make mistakes, and they're a team that are going to have to rely heavily on the defense. But at the end of the day, you know, you said it before, doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile, winning is winning. And as long as this team works hard, does what they have to do, and puts 110% in, they'll be able to win games. And they showed that on Sunday.
They did, man. And it was one of those wars. I even said this is going to be a war, and I said it all Sunday afternoon. I mean, six lead changes, and the six lead changes obviously gave the Ravens the win. It was a fight. It was a heavyweight fight where they went to the very last round, 4 seconds to be in fact, and it took that much to decide a game. It was one of the most exciting games I've been a part of in recently, other than the Super Bowl in recent memory. I can't remember of an exciting regular season game last year. I couldn't really remember that, but it was just one of those fights. I mean, from the get-go, I mean, we knew, you know, they could have scored, then we went down and scored, they went down. It was just scoring after scoring and plays after big plays, and there was a lot of major concerns, but then there were some things that we did well, and across the board, it kind of ended up in a balanced victory. I'm going to start off by saying that the secondary, ouch. Webb's first game back, and he was getting burnt all day. And I think Matt Elam wanted to – I think he was still – I don't know what he was thinking, but he thought it – because it was his birthday, he thought he could take the day off. But poor Matt, man. Matt Elam had one of the most terrible games ever. I mean, and going back to the one wide open play after the turnover on downs, you got to touch the guy. This isn't college where he's down as soon as he catches the ball. He let him run 20 more yards right past him. I was like, really, Matt? I was like, there was a lot of atrocious plays, but what we did well, how about running the football? And our preseason favorite, Taliaferro, man. This kid was just, he was nuts. I just love watching him run, man. He was just pounding the football. Him and Justin Forsett were relentless in the running game, man. And I was very impressed with that. The line was open up holes, and they were running hard. And if it wasn't for beating a secondary defender out there, Taliaferro had a major, major touchdown run in his sights. And overall, they did well. Again, concern. I'm going to start on the concern list again as we started the secondary, and I wanted to show you that too. We need to work in the red zone offense, my friend. We could have really put this game out of reach, or kind of close to out of reach, if we'd have scored on two consecutive trips in the red zone. And you can't get first and goal on the two. And Brandon, I'm going to get your thoughts on this, my friend. It's okay, we run the ball effectively all day. We get down to the 10, we get down to the 5, and then they throw the football like they think they're Peyton Manning or something. I don't know what's up, but why not go with what's working, not with what's not? It's like they run the ball first on down, and then second down they throw, third down they throw, and then we're faced with a decision where should we go for it or kick a field goal? And whether these quarterbacks' needs aren't working, whether they're calling these plays, I don't know what QBX's thinking in the time frame of these plays, but they're ill-timed. And I think we should stick with what works. But, my friend, how about that running game?
Yeah, the running game looks absolutely – I mean, for what it is, it looks great. We were not expecting either of these guys to be starters. I mean, if anything, right, Bernard Pierce was going to be our guy for the first couple games. But I believe he was either sick or hurt and couldn't play. But luckily enough, these two guys stepped up, and they did look good. So with these guys kind of being a little bit inexperienced, it's great what we're getting from them so far. But like you're saying, you know, we get down to the red zone and Flacco's throwing the ball. Flacco can be inaccurate a lot of times, but the everybody catching has looked really bad this year. I wanted to bring this up to you before we get into the whole Dennis Pitta situation. What happened to Jacoby Jones and Torrey Smith? Those two guys, I barely hear Jacoby Jones's name even said by any of the announcers on TV. You don't really see him running or doing anything anymore. And Torrey Smith, that's whose jersey I have. I'm a big fan, but this season he looks kind of lost. He's dropping balls as much as he's getting thrown to. He doesn't look like he's prepared this season.
Yeah, they bring up a cool point, man. And if you remember in recent memory, Jacoby Jones isn't really those typical wide receivers. I mean, and be honest with you, he was within fingertips of a wide open catch, if not a touchdown, and it was just out of his reach. And he got open, and Torrey Smith caught a nice first down ball to move the chains. And they're working in there. I mean, it was brought up on the Ravens website. Is QBX offense a good fit for Torrey Smith or vice versa? And that is a good question. These guys have been relatively quiet. I think with the – well, obviously we'll get to it because it's a major loss, but I think with the loss of Dennis Pitta, you're going to see a lot of these guys getting worked even more. Again, week three, I say be patient because there are plenty of other teams in the NFL that their major stars aren't getting the looks, and it's happening across the board, not only at home but abroad. And I like to see it happen, but the game – I've always said this. I'm going to say it every stinking show, every stinking week. Each game is its own story. You know, they don't have a game plan where Torrey's going to get 10 targets and Jacoby's going to get 7 and Steve Smith's going to get 6. And they don't have that. It's, you know, again, the best player who's open, and if Flacco reads his progressions right, if the first player gets open, he should go to that. And not every play has a hot read. And when I say that, it's they have that go-to guy. Okay, well, the first look's going to be – whether it's Pitta or a curl. Okay, well, if not, let's see where Jacoby is. And if not, I mean, you have a good 3 to 5 second window to look around that. So it's a fast-paced game, and it moves very fast. But you're right, man. They've disappeared. But 2-1 record, if we're 0-3, I'm worried. But 2-1, as long as these guys are going to get fed the ball, I'm very happy, and they play their role. But and the role players are stepping up. I mean, how about Kyle Juszczyk, man? First career touchdown on a wide-open screen in the flat, and that was a very well-designed play. I mean, Owen Daniels in the Steelers game caught 2 big touchdowns, and you're going to see these guys stepping up. I mean, Owen Daniels is not going to do that week in and week out. Juszczyk's not going to do that week in and week out. We really hope that Forsett and Taliaferro, and when Pierce gets back healthy, and all three of those guys run hard. But you're not going to see these guys working every week. But again, Jacoby's always been that quiet guy. He's known for the kick returns, and they're really tough in being there because teams are learning to kick away from him now because he's dangerous. So, I love to see him worked in, but I'm saying be patient in the meantime.
Yeah, we'll see what happens later on. Like you said, having Owen Daniels there really does help out this team a lot. He's really shown up well. and having Steve Smith there for that big play at the end end of the game or at the end of the first half, whatever it is. He seems to be like Joe Cool out there. You know, when the time comes to make that big play, those two together will get it done. So having Steve Smith here is a huge, huge help to Joe Flacco because
what a playmaker, man!
Absolutely. My favorite thing is after Steve Smith catches the ball, he's not done. He keeps going.
Yep. I love that. I've loved that when he was a Carolina Panther, and I've always said that he's looking to make a play. And if you notice, hate to say this, but a lot of Steelers receivers are like that too. That's what makes them so dangerous because they don't just catch it and lay down. They catch it, and they turn on field and say, who can I juke and drive out of the way to get to the end zone? And Steve Smith always looking to make a play. How many stiff arms have we seen this year? Like three? One per game at least. It's just he's always looking to juke and drive and juke his way and stiff arm. And I love it, man. He's always looking to make a play and get every inch, every yard he can for his team, and he's playing hard, and he's come up with two big plays in the few weeks coming up, and it all sets up for blood and guts next Sunday, man. The Carolina Panthers come to town, ice up sun, ice up hun. I don't care how much you say it, but this guy, I love Steve Smith, man. I was just, when he broke free, and especially on that big bomb, he had two huge plays to get us within scoring range, and Steve Smith, man, the MVP of this game for sure. I mean, and it's just in the whole team in general, man, the poise to come back on the road. Justin Tucker for the win. It was amazing to see. And the defense, man, as bad as the secondary was all game, how about the team when it mattered most getting a three and out stop to give us the ball back in great field position at midfield to get the score? And it was the play to Steve Smith to really seal the deal without and make it almost a surefire field goal. So it all wrapped up in the one, but every war, like I said before, it was a war. It does come with a casualty, and I'm going to touch that on in a moment, but I just want to for a moment I'm going to show you how close this game was, Brandon. I'm looking at the score, the box scores here. Total yards, 377 to 375. Favor the Ravens by two. Passing yards were 217 to 284. The Browns got us in the passing game, but we got them in the rushing, 160 to 91. Time of possession. Listen to this, Brandon. Ravens at 30 minutes, 55 seconds. The Browns at 29 minutes and 5 seconds.
Wow.
So, yeah, man. When you talk about a war and being that we won by a two-point score, it was one of those games, man. I mean, the first downs were 19 to 23 in favor of the Ravens. You can go on and on and on. And like I said, there were six lead changes. The six lead changes gave the Ravens a win. That's how close the game was. It was just one of those back and forth games. You know, the Browns won the first quarter. We won the second quarter. They won the third quarter, and we won the fourth quarter. So it ebbed and flowed just like a heavyweight fight. And with our biggest casualty coming, man, Dennis Pitta, man, I knew something was awry when he went down. A lot of my friends were texting me saying it was the hip again. I wasn't too sure. And looking at the replays, I was like, well, it could have been his knee playing it wrong, or it might be in an ankle. But he looked in major pain, my friend. And it's sad to say that he was kept overnight in the hospital for surgery, and he did dislocate the same hip he hurt before. And it could be a possible career ender. He is out for the season. And, man, what a major blow to the offense. What a major blow to the Ravens. And not only that, but Pitta and his career. I don't know what's going to happen. Major prayers to him and his family, man. Dennis Pitta has always been one of my favorites. Obviously, it always was Flacco's favorite, but he was punned. And, you know, the Suggs, I always remember his comical remarks, you know, the white tight end, you can never leave home without him. And in the Super Bowl run. So it's Brandon, this really sucks, man. This really sucks.
Yeah. As a Ravens fan, you know, it really sucks to see him go, but best of luck to him. I hope he gets better and I hope he's okay, but I'm scared to say it, but I think his playing days might be over because to dislocate the same hip it was a little over a year later. I mean, they're going to say, look, you can't do this, man. You're going to, you want to walk again. You're going to have to not play anymore if you ever want to walk again. So really just a terrible injury. You never want to see that. I mean, you got to give him kudos for coming back after he did it the first time. So hopefully I don't want to count him completely out because, you know, Pitta is one of those people. It seems as if he loves playing this game and wants to play. And this is a part of him. And he's a huge part of this team. This is a giant, giant loss for this team. And it really does suck seeing Pitta in a sideline like that, but
it does, man. I mean, it's an unfortunate incident, man, and when I knew it happened, and it was just there's really, I mean, you're right, man. It's one of those things that you know what, it's going to happen. I mean, it happened when Webb and Ray went down the same game, and we pushed to run the Super Bowl. So it's always with this team, next man up. And speaking of that, we called up the tight end Philip Supernall from the practice squad, and the Ravens already said they're looking at several options, and they're looking to sign a tight end, whether it's free agent. I don't know who's out there right now, but the Ravens are always on point with scrambling and finding players to plug in. I mean, look what we found, man. We drafted a rookie, Talaferro, and Harbaugh was laughing in the press conference when one of the reporters asked one of his ridiculous questions. Did you know he was going to do that? I'm like, Harbaugh's like, of course. That's why we drafted him. So the Ravens are always looking good for the players. Next man up mentality. It's always been the Ravens mantra, man. Someone goes down, oh, sucks, but here we go. Plug in somebody and plug and play and let's go. And this is why I love the team, man. It's, this is why I've always gone back to preseason. You watch these players play, and you might never heard of these guys before, but Supernall was in the preseason catching passes from Tyrod Taylor and Keith Wenning. And it's going to happen. I mean, Talaferro, who would expect him to start now? He's even been talked about not only in real football, but in fantasy football, where people are talking about picking him up. So these guys come out of nowhere. They're role players, and they make plays. And if it all adds up to a win, we'll see, man. But I hate to see Pettis go down. I hope to see 88 pack in the uniform. And speaking of a tight end, it's kind of ironic that one goes down and we praise another the same week. But Todd Heat comes back to Baltimore. Remember Heat? And he's going to be back in Baltimore, honored in the Ring of Honor on Sunday at halftime against the Panthers. So, one goes down, but we get to honor another great one in Ravens lore. And have some great Heat memories, man. He was one of those, just like Beta, man, go up and catch the ball, throw it up and let Heat come down with it. He was a hard-nosed player. Wish we could have Heat back to playing. I know his playing days are over. But it was some great memories there, and we're gonna welcome the Carolina Panthers on Sunday, man. It's they're reeling after a big loss against Pittsburgh. They looked anemic. They were 2-0 coming into that game, and Pittsburgh took it to them. And right now they're struggling. And the Ravens ride high, and they're coming home. It's gonna be a fiery crowd. And Steve Smith is gonna give them some pointers through the week. We know what Cam Newton's offense brings, and Cam Newton gives us troubles because he's a scrambling quarterback. So we have to look out for that. But they are banged up. Their top two running backs got hurt. DeAndre Williams and Jonathan Stewart are actually Jonathan Stewart and Mike Tobert respectively got hurt. DeAndre Williams is already banged up. He might come back for this contest. It's going to set up to a pretty interesting matchup. And again, Steve Smith, he circled this calendar. He knew it. He said it in the interview before he was hired by the Ravens. He said it's going to be blood and guts. And he said they're going to be sorry they let me go, and I got something left in the tank. And boy, has he proved it, man, because he's had monster games every week for the Ravens, man, for every game. He's been there. And again, this Steve Smith said that. This is why I came here. This is why they brought me here. I'm making plays, and I'm doing what I'm asked and what I'm told. And he's looking to do everything he can for this team to win. And this game is going to be awesome, man. I really can't wait to get after it. It's our first non-divisional game. It seems like it's been forever. We played the whole AFC North. And we're finally out of the North and into the NFC South for our first game in that division. And I'm going to get after it, man. I think what's going to happen in this game, Brandon, is what are your keys to victory, man?
Well, you pretty much named the keys to victory. I think Steve Smith is going to be the guy who motivates the entire team. I think, Terrell Suggs wearing that helmet onto the field up against the Steelers made everybody laugh, made everybody kind of not think about the stuff going on off the field. Made everybody think about what's going on the field, how it's going to be a war. Steve Smith, man, I think he's going to be the same way for this game, because if you remember back in week one, he had a big play and he goes over to a side camera and screams, "You don't think I can play? You guys wait till week four." I think everybody is going to be playing as hard as they can for this guy. I think he's going to make every single play he can. He's got a point to prove. I think he's going to be the backbone of this team on week four. That's going to be a huge asset to the Ravens for this game. Who else I think that Carolina should hire to help the Ravens kind of win this next week is Billy Cundiff, because he was a big help last week.
Ooh, I'm glad you brought that up. I actually almost forgot about that and all the hoopla, man. And I really do apologize for the ace of Jackson, man. And it just shows you how much is going on in the Ravens world. We're undermining our special teams here, man. We can't be doing that at all. If we'd have gotten all the way to not a chance, that would have felt bad. But we always want to cover every bits and piece. And you're right, Brandon. Thanks for covering that. Man, how about Billy Cundiff, man? He shanks the one, and I even tweeted that. I was like, remember that? That looks familiar. Wide left, huh? Wonder where that was from. And how about Asa Jackson, man? Coming to block that field goal, because that field goal was actually a 36-yarder. So it would have been – I don't know if it would have been makeable, but the kick was low. Who knows? I mean, everybody's saying on the replay, if you look, it could have went left. Who knows, man? But Asa Jackson blocking that field goal gave the Ravens momentum. I love it, man. What a play. What a play to keep us in a game. And you're right. If it wasn't for those two plays, we could have probably lost the game. Who knows, man? Big time stop. But you're right. You know, Steve Smith was the MVP. Well, maybe Billy Cunniff deserves the other half of the MVP trophy. And he remembers why we let him go in the first place. So it was kind of – I'm sure that's been brought up many a times, and he's reliving that. And that looks familiar, didn't it? So and it was comical when he missed it. I say, get back to the bench, you bum. I said, this is exactly where you belong. And, I mean, hey, he did good while he was here, but that one kick, that's unacceptable. It's 32 yards. Can't make 32-yard field goal. You shouldn't even be kicking field goals in the NFL, in my opinion. But obviously, you can't even make a 50-something yarder because it went wide left, just like in New England. So it was very comical. I loved it. I'm sure every fan did. And, yeah, Billy Cundiff, kudos, man. I'm sure he's sulking somewhere this week. And woulda, coulda, shoulda. But yeah, with the Ravens win, I think it all looks good on paper, man.
Yeah, hopefully this coming week, you know, Joe Flacco, he's got to be accurate. The wide receivers, they got to make plays. They got to catch everything that they can. The defense is going to have to shut down the Carolina quarterback. And we got to have Terrell Suggs and Dumervil on him as much as possible, because the big weakness there is the secondary. And we've talked about that all season. Yep. So with the Carolina running game kind of beat down a little bit right now, he's going to go to the sky as much as he can. And you got to get to him quick, so the secondary doesn't fall flat like they have in the last couple games.
Right, man. I mean, and especially with the defensive pressure, that goes bodes well, because if the defensive pressure ain't getting there, and I mean, I don't think Hoyer was on his back at least only once, that's what's going to happen. I mean, it all starts in the trenches. I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, you have superstars in the secondary. You can have superstars in the wide receiver, but the real superstars ain't on the offensive and defensive line. You can kiss wins goodbye in the NFL. I mean, there's a reason why we drafted Jonathan Ogden first and not Ray Lewis. There's a reason why. I mean, there's a reason why we have Pro Bowlers and Ben Grubbs, and we used to have a Pro Bowl and Ben Grubbs. There's a why we have a Marchand on the line. There's why we signed Regime Monroe. Regime Monroe did have a tough day at the office. And to compare it, this is what happened, man. I watched an incredible game with the Broncos-Seahawks rematch, and I guess Peyton's nemesis is the Seahawks. He still can't beat them, even throwing two touchdowns instead of one. And that was a great game in regards. But when I noticed, me and my dad were talking, they put pressure on Peyton Manning. Every time it was third down, they dial up the blitz, and it forced Peyton Manning to throw it too quickly because he's a rhythm quarterback. When you get these guys off rhythm, I don't care if they're Manziel, Hoyer, Manning, Brady, Ryan Tannehill, I don't care who they are. If they're got all day to throw, they're going to pick you apart. I remember that fateful Monday night game in one of the playoff years. We lost to the Jaguars in Monday Night Football. We barely got to them. Blaine Gabbert was the quarterback. We barely got to him, and he picked us apart. Any quarterback's going to do that in the NFL. Again, the pass rush has to be there, but it could be that, maybe their offensive line better because they have a Joe Thomas. They got Alex Mack. So they got some guys up front. And talking respected to the Browns, they had some guys that weren't slouches, man. So the games are always won and lost in the trenches. So if you can't block for your own quarterback and you can't get the other one, it's going to be a long day in the office, my friend. So I always look on them lines, especially when I'm at the games, especially when I'm on TV. I watch the lines. I watch how long Joe Flacco's got to throw the ball. I watch how long the other team's got to throw the ball. And if they're going to sit there all day, I mean – Warriors back there all day, so it had time for the routes to develop, and then secondary is going to get confused, and it just leads to big plays as we saw in wide open, and everybody's wide open on Sunday, man. That can't happen this Sunday against the Panthers because Kelvin Benjamin, one of the rookies, he's a big, tall receiver, and he's going to give us problems. And again, man, these receivers always give us problems. They got a tight end, a Greg Olsen, who's a big weapon. And Cam Newton, he's a big fast runner. He's a big prototype, just like Colin Kaepernick was, or is, I should say, still. And they always give us fits, so we got to watch out for these guys, man. The Panthers might be reeling, but they're not down and out, man. It's the NFL. And the Ravens could be at home if they're not careful. But I'm going to take the Ravens by 10 in this game. I'm actually going to take the Ravens. I'm going to say – I'm going to give it a 24-14 score on this one, man.
That sounds good. I like that. I think that's a good score. Like I said, I think the MVP of the Birds to watch this week has got to be Steve Smith. I think he knows the spotlight's on him, and I think he's one of those players that enjoys the spotlight. So I'm expecting huge things from him. And I bet you the Panthers are also expecting big things from him as well. So they are probably training right now to figure out every single way to shut him down. But he's strong, he's big, and he's got a chip on his shoulder. So he's going to be somebody. He's going to be scary to watch on Sunday. So this has been really fun. It's been a good episode of The Call. Did we miss anything?
I know Billy Cundiff did wide left, but here, not a chance, man.
All right. So before we wrap things up, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, make sure you check us out. We are on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. You get information about this show whenever a new show does come out. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network completely for free. We do this show for free. You guys download it for free. So please be social with the show. All right. Josh and I are both on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash if you want to tweet to me and tell me I'm great at podcasting, I suck at it, the Ravens are great, the Ravens suck. Whatever you want to say, just tweet to me at Brando Cash and let me know. And Josh, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you at?
Brandon, they can follow me at ItalianGQ52, and I do have to use this time to say breaking news. Brandon, we did forget something, my friend.
What's that?
We have to shout out to our AL East champion counterpart, the Orioles, man.
That's true.
We forgot, man. I wanted to start off the show with that. And I guess with everything, again, with the Ray Rice situation swirling, there is a lot of talk about on our plate in the Ravens world. But again, you know, I have to break into it to shout out to the Orioles. Congratulations, man. It's going to be a busy week next week because playoffs start next week, and I'll be going to the first game. And home field advantage, man. It's an exciting time. Baltimore, first time in 17 years we hoisted a pennant, divisional crown, and it's awesome, man. I'm really just taken back, and I love seeing it, and it was great, man. And I wanted to just say a shout out to that man, and I can't wait to see what happens in the postseason for the O's, man. Baltimore's on fire right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to love the O's, and you and I were recording as that final game was going on to clinch the AL East, and luckily enough, we finished up a little bit earlier than the game ended, and I got to watch the ninth inning and then the celebration after, so it was a great thing to see, and I love the connection the Orioles have with the fans. It was really great seeing Adam Jones pie some fans in the face, so...
See, and that's what it's about, man. It's about fan connections. And like we were talking about earlier in the show, man, it's whether the Ravens have negative publicity. I mean, it happened with the O's or before with the whole steroid scandal. So, I mean, it's happened with our other teams. So we can't make light of that, too. I mean, there are some dark days ahead for some teams, and we all go through it. And with that being said, it's myself, it's going to be a busy week next week, man. I remember talking about this. Not only do we have the Panthers game on Sunday that I'll be attending with the season tickets, but I do go to the Orioles playoff game, and then I'm going to the Indy road trip. So the call is going to have a busy week next week, man. We're going to have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Well, that's the way we like it. That's what we like around here. We like being busy, and we like talking about Baltimore sports, especially about the Ravens. So go to BrandoCash.com. Get information about this show and all the other shows from Brando Cash Entertainment. Facebook.com/BrandoCash. You can like us over there to get information about this show and all the other shows whenever they are released. And again, how many times we got to say it, man? We give you the show for free. We do this for free. You guys download it for free. It's free stuff in 2014. Nothing's free anymore. So let it be free and let everybody else know it's free. Let everybody else know you're a Ravens fan and that you enjoy the call. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Let everybody know about the Baltimore Ravens, that you're a fan, you're standing with them, and that you listen to the call, and they should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Thank you, Brandon, and thanks for everybody who downloads the show. We greatly appreciate it. And here we go, man. Another battle. It's on the horizon. Sunday, 1 o'clock, M&T Bank Stadium. We welcome the Carolina Panthers into town. And again, we welcome Todd Heap at halftime. It should be a great, great honor to have him. But again, sad to say, Pitt is gone. Next man up in the NFL, as always. We'll see how Ravens can do formidably at home, where we always bring it and we bring our best for the fans. We're going to be fired up and we're going en route to a 3-1 record. How's that sound? I think it sounds great, guys. I mean, it's just going to be a great, great time in Baltimore come Sunday at 1 o'clock. We're going to fire up the tailgates a lot early. I'm going to be down there, hopefully you. We're going to see you Sunday at 1 o'clock in Baltimore Ravens. We're going to fly high over these Panthers.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.